Hi, Phil Henry Show here, 1-800-449-8686. The number one rated afternoon drive talk show in L.A. And I got people, I got Comb-Over Boy over there reading his numbers on the air every day as he comes out of his first stop set. This cat's reading his numbers every day. What compelling radio. What absolutely compelling radio. I got this guy, I'm on the air saying to everybody, I'm number one in afternoon drive in Los Angeles. I got a guy so freaked out now, he starts his show off by reading his freaking numbers on the air. Like those are going to last. Whatever that guy's got, he's got by default. Well, you know what? And the great Michael Corleone said it once, and then Neil Rogers said it, and so now I'm going to say it. It's not personal, it's business. That's all. It's not personal, it's business, Michael. This is business, and you're taking it very personal. Was it Sonny? Sonny said that. Got nothing against anybody. I think everybody works hard. It's just the fact that I'm the most focused guy. You know, I'm a very focused guy. I don't come in here on autopilot. I don't come in here to wing it. I don't come in here to spend an hour or two each day. Well, you know what? I'm not feeling good, so let's go to the phones. Let's do open phones and see what you think. Because with all due respect, I love you guys, I respect my listeners, and I respect my audience. I don't care what you think. I'm not here to listen to what you got to say. You're there to listen to what I got to say. That's how it works. You know that. Only these poor jive asses that call in. Like, the lines are already lit. What do these people want to call in and talk to me about when I ain't even asked them to call in and talk to me about nothing, all right? I gave out a phone number. Doesn't mean you got to automatically dial it up, man. What do you think I'm giving away here? You know, just because I say I got Laker tickets doesn't mean it's true. Just because I say I got tickets to the Super Bowl don't mean I'm going to give them to you. I did 2 hours once in Miami. I said I got playoff tickets, Miami Heat, Charlotte Hornets. I got them. Come on, call in. People call. I didn't give one pair of tickets away that whole afternoon. These clowns called for hours. Can I get the tickets? No. No, you may not. I guess it was sadistic. I didn't mean to be, but after a while I started enjoying it. And then let's keep doing this thing. They're calling in. Can I get those Miami Heat tickets? No, you can't. You can't have them. No, you can't have them. And then they'd hang up, and I'd go back to, okay, I got those Miami Heat, Charlotte Hornet tickets, baby, tonight's big game. I got tickets on the floor right behind Pat Riley. I got to be like, yeah, Phil, how about those tickets? No. And then what would happen is people would call in and say, hi, Phil, how you doing? Real good. How you doing, pal? Great. My son has never been to an NBA game before. And I've never been able to share that experience with my son. And I just think it would be great, you know. I'm sorry. You can't have them. Can I have one of those things? Man, those things are so awesome, man. We got to get a case of these Penguin caffeinated peppermints. These are so good. So I'd say to the guy, no, you can't. Then a woman called and she said, yes, I have a young boy that I take care of him. He's in a wheelchair. He has spina bifida, and he's going to die within months, and he can't breathe, and all of this stuff, you know. And they think they're putting you on the spot. Because if you say no, they believe you're going to be too humiliated. You won't say no. And I'm no, you can't have them. But you don't understand. You can't have them. So then they turn into real assholes. Then they start talking to you about, you know, what a crude, rude slob you are, and how dare you? And you know, it's great. It's a great thing. If you're considering a career in broadcasting, say you have tickets to the World Series, and then don't give them away. Spend an hour. Just no, you can't have them. No, you can't have them. Okay, we're having a talent show. Call up and sing a song. Sing your guts out. And the best one may win. That's what you do. You say may win. You don't say will win. You say may win tickets to the Super Bowl. Then they call up and they're singing. Just they're singing till they're bleeding, man. They're singing till it's the sweat is blood. And then you go, that sucked. That really sucked. You know. I'm singing in the... There's really, you know, like... there's this old movie called Key Largo where she says, Edward G. Robinson says, you can have a drink if you sing a song, his girlfriend. So she sings the song. It's really bad. He goes, you don't get the drink. She goes, why, Johnny? Because it sucked. You're singing... Well, that's what we do here on the Phil Henry Show. It's So I say that only to say that we don't take phone calls necessarily. And I, you know, because we appreciate the listenership that we have in this radio show. And we're going to launch into something here real soon, I swear to God. But I just wanted to get that off my chest and out of the way, okay? We are number one in the afternoon, and we don't even have to take phone calls. You see, this is war. This is going to be war. This already has been war. This is already, the bloodletting has already started. Anybody think they're going to coast to some kind of a win here in afternoon drive or early evenings or whatever it is, wherever it is that we are, you're going to have to come in with your guns drawn, your pants unzipped. You're going to have to be ready. Because I don't come in here and put it on freaking autopilot. And I don't have a comb over. And I am a fat ass, and I admit it. And I'm 47, and I admit that. I'm not trying to be something I'm not. I am what I am, and that's all I ever am going to be. And the rest of these jive asses and lightweights and, you know what, man, you can read your freaking numbers for 3 solid hours. I don't care. Tell me how great you... I am great, man. I don't have to say how good I am. So I think it's hysterical that already... And I've been doing this, what is it, like already I got this guy in a freaking sweat-soaked panic. You want to know why? Because it's been default up till now. There ain't nothing else on. Now we're here. Now we're going to win. And we will for many, many years. Now, I was on the phone this morning to a variety of program directors who carry our show nationally. And may I be a little self-indulgent, because I don't often talk about myself all that much, okay? I was on the phone today with a lot of guys, and they're freaking. There's a few guys there. They're scared. And I don't blame them. As one guy was telling me, he says, Jesus, I'm trying desperately to keep your show on the air, but we get a lot of complaint calls. I said, I understand, and I'm not going to, you know, whatever I can do to help. I know you're getting complaint calls. I know what this show represents to a lot of radio stations around the country. AM radio and conservative and liberal talk radio is dead. It is dead. And a lot of these radio stations have no idea what they're going to do. So they have suddenly decided that they're going to put some kind of entertainment-driven talk radio on, and here we are. The problem is their demographics are very old. And they throw us into the breach thinking that magically we're going to be some lightning rod and everything is going to be rosy in 90 days. I said this 3 months ago, and I say it again, this ain't no 90-day turnaround. What this is a slow build on this radio show. But once you have established this on your station, what happens is the audience is extremely loyal and stays with you forever. And this poor guy that I was talking to, he said, man, I'm getting my ass blistered over here. I said, why don't you move us up and run us live? He's one of these guys run us at 10 o'clock. He says, holy Jesus, oh my God. And he thought this freaking guy was going to have a heart attack. I can't do that. Oh my God, Phil, move you up. Holy. I said, okay, keep us late at night. I understand. It's okay. You're a good man. And like I said, when we finally achieve world domination, you will have been able to say that you were there at the beginning. So I appreciate, believe me, what a lot of these programmers are up against. I talked to another guy today. He's had ministers. He's had preachers. He's had mothers. He's had, and I'm not putting these people down, by the way. I'm not belittling them at all. Come to the front door of the radio station and say, you got to pull this piece of crap off the air. And the guy said, why? He says, he should be put in jail. He's too funny. He should be arrested for being too funny. So this is what a lot of these guys are up against. And I said to him, and I said to a few of the guys that I talked to today, thank you for airing the show. We will support you in any way that we can. It's going to be okay. It's going to be fine. There's an initial thing that happens with our show, and it is this. When my show first goes on the air anywhere, when it's brand new anywhere, people hate my living guts, and they can't stand the show. It's just the way it is. I'm sorry. And I said to this guy, you can be assured of one thing. I don't get on the air and try to do anything other than be funny. I don't try to cause problems for anybody. The only thing we're trying to do on a Phil Hendry show is be funny. And you know what? About 90% of the time, we're succeeding. And it's a hard thing to do, but when you focus in that direction, and that is what that's really what your show is about, being funny, it's easy because you know exactly what your target is every day, as opposed to coming in and just trying to be controversial in this very generic and nebulous kind of young and hip and bullcrap way. I mean, how stupid do you think the audience is anyway? How stupid do you think the freaking audience is anyway? We're young and we're hip and we're... You know something, man? You are so bloody lame. If you think it that way. So what I did was... we hired a bunch of chicks to come in here, and we're going to spank their ass all afternoon. So how about that? And then, you know, we'll say goddamn an asshole a lot. And I'm going to tell you, we'll win. Now, that wins an afternoon drive in L.A. right now for the short term, like for the last 3 months. You want to know why? Because there ain't nothing on the air in this town. Thank God you're in Grand Rapids, or you're in El Paso, or you're in Miami, or you're in Tampa, because the radio has got to be better there than it is in L.A. I have one of the salespeople from KFI here. She'll attest to the fact it is crap up and down the dial, except for our station, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, bull crap. Get out of here, Michelle. You start off by lying to me. The radio dial in Los Angeles is so pathetic, especially an afternoon drive, that it doesn't even abide the telling. So that's why we had to do what we did. That's why I campaigned to be on the air in afternoons. And you know what, man? Like I said, the war has begun. It's going to be bloody. I don't care because I got the stomach for it. Everybody else is running around, man. They got the cold feet, man, a puddle forming there at their feet. Not me. I don't care because I know we got the goods. We got the product, okay? Everybody else is faking it. Everybody else is faking it. But not me. Okay. Not me.
I'm sorry, you did what?
Okay, 1-800. You're going to have to turn that cue speaker down, man. 1-800-449-8686. And by the way, can I just say that I did some looping today for Futuram. It's going to be on a week from Sunday. There is no better gig in the world than working for either one of those two shows that I've done, Futurama or King of the Hill. They are the nicest people, and the working atmosphere there is so fantastic, and the egos are so in check, and the people support you so much. It was difficult. As I walked out of there, I said, you know, it's funny, because everybody here is so nice, and it's network television. And I realized what a horrible business radio was. I mean, truly horrible, where all you think about every day, when I come into work, all I think about is tearing throats out and sucking eyeballs out of skulls and destroying careers, you know? I mean, that's what I want to do. I mean, you know, we want to win so much in afternoon drive here and in early evenings on the East Coast or wherever we are that we want to make it difficult for someone to stand upright. You know, we want to make it difficult for them to pee without seeing blood in the bowl, you know? I mean, we want to beat them so bad that the urologist is going to have a finger up their ass for 6 months trying to stop the swelling. That's how bad we want to win, and that's how much we will win. And it's really not that difficult. Not in this town, anyway. Elsewhere, we're going to have a challenge. Here? Los Angeles? Afternoons in L.A.? This is going to be a piece of cake. That's how much fun that's going to be. So Taylor's sitting across me going, thank God I got out of that radio station. I hitched my wagon to this star. Oh, Jesus. How do I get out of here? Michelle, can I hide in your trunk? 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. Show 1-800-449-8686. I don't know. I'm pretty good. Although I have a serious caffeine addiction since Taylor started bringing in those peppermint mints from Tower. Is it? They're selling these peppermint caffeine mints, and now I'm thinking of going back on cocaine just to see if there's any difference. You know, maybe I can get by with caffeine. I'm kidding. Those are pretty good though. Thanks a lot for that. How is it that ever since I started working with you guys, I'm reading the Hemp Exchange and I'm eating caffeinated crap? And By the way, we got a letter from the dude from 420 Coalition. As you know, I mentioned on the show last week that we want to be a little bit of a clearinghouse for marijuana information, legalization information and such, because I guess I've had an epiphany or something. I really want to go back to smoking the weed, but it's been a week and a half and I can't score any still, and I don't want to go back to the guy that I was connecting with in high school. You know, I still know the guy too. I'm like, hey, you haven't heard from me in 30 years, but I don't know. So this is 420 Exchange. This is a clearinghouse for legalization information and information on 420, which is a code number for people that smoke weed. And I got back a letter that was so rambling. I don't even want to mention this guy's name on the air because I don't want to really want to embarrass the guy. But there's things in there. He's been saying things in here like, you know, I'm willing to unbear myself to America through your program. I will come to L.A. and be on your show if you give me gas and lodging. Somehow I got your attention. Well, I've gotten the attention of people like Jesse Ventura. I know what's going on. Legalized pot. It's just a lot of stuff. I think, Jesus, you have got to, you know, there comes a time when you got to take care of business. You can't smoke dope all day long. Not when you're writing business letters and stuff. This guy's like, you know, I got your letter and I'm completely with you on a variety of frequencies. I have an IQ of over 150, and even I don't have a clue as to how much pot can save our planet. This is beyond, let's just legalize and smoke and see what happens. This is pot can save the planet. As much as I like to get stoned, well, I will update the site with your encouragement. Otherwise, kiss your cause goodbye. I speak for the downtrodden and weary populace that face continual suppression. Let's talk. I ain't going to talk to you, man. No, I talked to a guy like you in Pershing Square the other day. He had a little wool cap on. And he was playing chess with an imaginary friend. No, don't need to have you on the show. I can go down to Chinatown and grab a guy just like you. Just received email from my friend. He sent me an edited version of your show. I'm pleased with the plug that you gave God's Word. I had sent you a letter on 420, replied to a letter you sent me. Whatever, I didn't write this guy a letter. The guy's so high, he thinks I'm writing him letters. And oh, you read him? You sent him a letter, Mike? Okay. Since your broadcast, my hit rate has increased by 10. Whatever, you can make the change. For now, over 53,000 confirmed pot-only prisoners in the United States. You are their only hope. Come on, be a crusader and follow through. I'll come to L.A. and be in your show if you give me gas and lodging. Just when we're trying to turn people away from the concept that people that smoke dope are living out of their van, scraping tree bark for breakfast cereal, you know, living under a bridge, and going to the co-op, okay, and getting kind of upset when people smoke around them. Just when we're trying to get people, you know, like normal people involved in this, here comes some cat laying this whole pot-only prisoners thing on me, and I'll come to L.A. for gas and lodging. So in other words, you still don't have a job. 30 years of dope smoking. I got a job. I remember when I was smoking pot, I still held down a job. Well, no, I didn't. And now I'm thinking about it. No, I did not hold down a job. That's why I quit smoking dope. I couldn't hold a job. I think I can. I think you can smoke dope and hold down a job. Do you have to, I mean, like, every, you know, some guys get right up in the morning and they're blasting up that stuff. There's got to be some kind of a problem with your life if you're, seriously, I mean, you have to consider, I know there is no such thing as, quote, marijuana addiction or whatever you want to call it, but if you're smoking it from the time you get up to the time you go to bed, there's something wrong with your life. I mean, you're avoiding communication with somebody or something, or maybe not. Maybe that's the way to go. Now, we're trying to figure out, Craig Taylor here is my engineer. He doesn't work on any federally licensed equipment. He works for the Premier Radio Network, broadcasting my show to federally licensed facilities. So technically, there is no license that is in his care. So he could get stoned and work, or drink and work, and there is no violation of federal law. No? There's no violation of federal law. So maybe I can't get high and work, but he can. And starting tomorrow, anyway, I was hoping to bring you some information from 420 Exchange and further information, clearinghouse-style information on the legalization of marijuana and the efforts by people to that end. Instead, I got this letter from this cat who won't come out here unless I give him gas money. So I'm back in Santa Barbara at the lights, 1970. Gas, grass, or ass? Okay, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry Show. So I went over and I did some what is called looping for a Futurama show that I'll be on a week from Sunday. And I don't talk about, I'm always reluctant to talk about this stuff because I don't want anybody to think that I think I'm some kind of a movie star, which I'm not. I'm very grateful to get that kind of work. It's really a cool show to work on. And I did Three King of the Hills, and it's the same thing. You're working with people. It's really astounding that you walk into a room full of performers, like I did today, who want you to do well. The other actors on the show, they want you to get in and they want you to do a good job. And they, because, you know, it makes the show sound better. And the same with King of the Hill. And you have writers that are genuinely funny. And you have a producer who is patient and works with you. And I was doing what's called ADR, which is basically just some kind of filling in a few lines here and there for this character that I did. And then a week from Sunday, it'll be on. And the character I play is Waterfall, is the name of this character. He's kind of an environmentalist freak. So watch Futurama a week from Sunday. It's 7 o'clock on Pacific and Eastern, I think. And in any event, you walk in and you do the show, and the people are gracious, and they're friendly, and they... I talked to a phenomenal talent today named Billy West, who does a lot of voices. He's been in the Space Jam movie. This guy does, I don't know, 5 or 6 different voices on Futurama. He's all over the place and a tremendously talented guy. And I walk in the room and he says to me, "You're Phil Henry. You're the guy that's good here." I said, "Me? You're the guy that's on Space. You're the guy that's doing the Bugs Bunny voice that my kids can't get enough of. What are you talking about?" No. So the reason why I bring that up is because it's completely opposite of the environment that you work in radio. Radio, I mean, I love radio, and I'll be in the business for the rest of my life. But, I mean, it's like going out on the yard in prison working in radio. There's somebody ready to put a shank in your ear. When I first went to work, I mean, this is just the way the business is. It doesn't mean that there's bad people in the business, but for some reason, maybe there's such a... At this level in radio, people are so insecure. I don't know. But when I first walked in the door at KFI in Los Angeles 3.5 years ago, nobody wanted to talk to me. Nobody wanted to know that I was there. I think half the station was praying that I'd get fired within the next 3 months. They were embarrassed. Still are. What am I saying 3 years ago? They still are, aren't they? No, I'm just kidding. But since I moved out of there, I don't know. But it was the same everywhere that I've ever been, and maybe it's just me. Were you treated good when you first went to work in radio, Mike? Well, you were given out keychains for K-Earth at remote broadcasts at Gulf stations, but other than that, yeah, I was treated really well, Phil. I was giving away keychains at the men's room at a mobile station, and it was great. As good as it gets for a guy that's given out keychains? Okay. And chapstick at a Charlie Van Dyke remote? How about you, Craig? You were working at KIEV, weren't you? And they treated you like filth. No, I'm kidding. They got some, huh?
I ain't going to say.
But, you know, it's the way that it is. I don't know why it's that way, but there's so much insecurity in radio that you are, everybody's got this little niche. They have their little place that they've carved out and they've protected themselves and they've insinuated themselves with the right people. And then when you come along and you're doing any kind of you're trying to be creative, then you're rocking the boat a little bit and you're overturning the apple cart. People are upset. And I saw that happen at a number of radio stations that I went to. And when I go and I do these little Futuramas or these King of the Hills, and I go over there and I work with people who are, like, nice. I'm not kidding you. And the reason why I'm saying this is, let me just go public. I would love to get a cartoon and get out of radio once and for all. I mean, if I could get a cartoon, if I could get 2 good cartoons that pay me in the neighborhood of $5 or $6 million a year, I would get out of... Taylor's coming with me. He's going to start doing Bugs Bunny voices. No, and I it would be a great... I think it would be a fun thing to do, but I... Who's going to let me be on those shows? I've been a guest star on those shows, and the guys that are working those shows, what do you think they're pulling down a Futurama, Mike? Come on. You read Variety. But about 30 grand an episode? They went on strike at The Simpsons. I think they're getting 50 G's an episode, but it's only 13 episodes, see? So how much is 50 times 13? Okay, hold on for a second. We're going to add it up on our wipe-off board. 50 times 13. 3 times 0 is 0. 3 times 5 is 15. 1 times 0 is 0. 1 times 5 is 5. 0, 5, 6. $650,000 a year? Michelle, why weren't you helping me with this? You're in sales. Jesus, she said you had it in within five seconds? That's 650 G's a year you could make doing The Simpsons. Now, that's not as much as I make now, but I could... I'm joking. Jeez. Yeah, seriously, I make a good living, and I'm very, very happy for the living that I make. I did renegotiate my deal. I am making $47,000 a year now, and I renegotiated the deal. I'm so excited. We're so happy. And last night, instinctively, I reached for a can of cat food. And I said, "Geez, I can eat real tuna now." I'm just so happy. We're excited. You know, I just reached in and I was going for some kibble, and I don't have to eat the cat stuff. I can go, you know. So that's the nice thing about it. When the kids, our children, are excited, redid the deal. 47 G's a year. Get a load of that, and they're letting me park on the lot now. So this is the thing that happens when you're syndicated. And the kids are excited. It was so, so great. I walked in yesterday, and I said to Catherine, who's our 8-year-old, I said, "Look at this, Catherine." And she goes, "What is that?" Because I said, "It's toilet paper. And here, let me take that Sears catalog now, because you don't have to rip pages out of that anymore, honey. And you can crap in the house now. We're putting a toilet in." So we are excited. We are excited. Crapping inside of a house. Have you ever done that? No, I mean in a toilet. Not in your room. Not in your bedroom, Craig. Not in a closet in your room. You have? Jesus. That's great. You know what I think I'm going to do? I'm getting a double wide. Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. I am, because you know the double wide shows down in Anaheim. I know Mike and Gretchen go every year, and I want to go down there. I'm going to get... It's just gotten good. It's gotten good. And when it gets good, it gets good. 47 grand a year, guaranteed 6 months out. Option for another 6 months. I have never lived fatter in my life. And it's all because of our great syndication deal that we've cut here at Premier. Okay? Now, I mean, after taxes, I'm getting like 30. But taking home 30, but that is phenomenal money when you stop to think about it. And so the kids are all wiping their asses with real toilet paper. Now it's, oh, God. Because I know I want to read the sports page. Now I got, you know, it's like, oh, Jesus, you know. Because some kid wiped his ass with it. I can't. How am I supposed to read, what's the guy? The guy that I like over there in the LA Times? Bill Plaschke. I love it. But half the time, one of the kids generally would wipe right up his column. So there's Bill's face and then the brown streak right down the middle of his column. I go, God, you guys did it again. Now, with the new deal, I'm buying toilet paper. The kids aren't wiping with the LA Times sports section. And I can actually, like, read the paper. And I read it today. Guess what? I'm going back to wiping with it. Not because I need to, but it's not much to look at. What? Well, you jealous? Schaefer's in there because he's a producer. He don't make the same kind of jingle. But when you're pulling down for, and I got a non-disclosure thing in my deal, so I'm not supposed to talk about it. But you know what? Screw it. I don't care. I'm now making, I've got a 6-month guaranteed deal, 47 grand a year. They let me walk onto the lot without an anal probe. So I could come into the building now without pulling my pants down, spreading, and having a guy put a flashlight in his teeth and go, "All right, cough." That is nice, and that's what I call respect. And I'm very appreciative of it, and look at this. Schaefer's telling me Ralph's has a toilet paper sale. I don't need to shop for it on sale anymore, man. I can get the full... Check this out, Mike. You want to come over tonight and take a crap? I got double-ply Charmin. Seriously, anybody wants to come to my house tonight and take a dump, how about you, Craig? You got to see the Charmin I bought. Because the last time you were over there, we were using, weren't we using Dr. Laura's column? And so I'm pulling it down. It's great. But yeah, you're right. I had to stock up while the money's rolling in. So that's right. I'll do that Ralph's TP, 99 cents a roll. Is it? You can? See, Mike uses wax paper at his house. Great idea. Great idea. Just wipe with wax paper. That is astounding. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Good thing about wax paper that you don't know is you can wash it off and use it again. It's the Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. 48 grand a year. Phew. Now, my next door neighbor had a fire. I don't know how it started, but I suspect I went over in the middle of the night and set fire to their house. It was me or one of the kids. I can't imagine how this happened. I walked out there today, and a guy came over, and he says, "Oh, yeah, how you doing, Phil? Great. By the way, we had a fire." I said, "What the hell happened?" He said, "Well, the garbage can lit on fire, and it burned up their electrical box, their breaker box." I said, "Well, thank God, nothing inside the house." Yeah, he said, "The inside of the house is fine. Just the outside right there at the breaker box burned up and a whole side of the house." I said, "Jesus." "So how you doing?" "I'm fine, you know, but if I see your kids over here again, I'm going to murder them. I'll kill all of them. It'll just be, you know," I'm kidding. He didn't say that because it couldn't have been my kids. They're on vacation. They ain't even around. I don't know if it's a chemical reaction. According to him, there was grass, just grass trimmings from a lawn that had been mowed in the garbage can. And at 6:30 in the morning, they spontaneously combusted. Now, have you ever heard of that? So either it was some other chemical that was in the garbage can with the grass trimmings, or somebody came by and flicked the cigarette button there by mistake, or someone purposefully started it. Seems like an odd time to start a fire, though, on purpose, doesn't it? 6:30 in the morning. People generally start fires in the middle of the night, don't they? Mike, when you did that job at that warehouse, did you? I'm kidding. I'm joking, okay? Because people are, yeah, those two warehouses went up. Because remember the time you went out and bought the big box of Milk Duds and that 5-gallon can of gasoline? You sat on the curb snickering and giggling, and the whole warehouse was going up. I said, "What are you doing, Mike?" You go, "It's a nice night for a fire." Like, it's 3 a.m. And he's like popping Milk Duds into his mouth. "It's a nice night for a fire. The fire is pretty. Do you see the flame?" That's an oddball time to be setting a fire on purpose. So that couldn't have happened. Something happened in that can that this guy, the side of this cat's house went up, man. I don't understand it at all. It freaked me out because if it could happen at his house, it sure as hell happened at mine. But at least where I keep my garbage cans, I don't keep them anywhere near my house. I keep them in a field of dry weeds, okay? Way over near, you know what I'm saying? So that's what you got to do, folks. Don't keep your garbage, anything that's flammable, don't keep it in your garage, don't keep it in your house. Keep it in a field of dry weeds. Especially as we get closer to July. And then, when it's hot enough, bingo! God, man, there was a fire out in Simi. Yeah, near the chemical factory or something. There was a fire out in Simi about 10 years ago. Got started by a guy, parked his truck. He was a workman. He parked his truck out in some dry weeds, and it got started by the heat from the muffler and the exhaust pipe. The dude came back from, like, he was at a stop-and-go or something. He was going in to get one of those really bad sandwiches that you heat up at lunchtime, or those nacho cheese, you know, with the thing melted all over it. And he goes and he heats up the hot dog, you know, in the foil. And they come walking out. They got one in the tray. He's got a new pack of Marlboros. And his truck is in flames. Holy Christ, what the hell happened over here? Well, you know, I don't know, man. Looks like you're flat out of luck, man. You're fresh out of friends. God damn. It's like the cops I saw one time. I couldn't believe this. This guy, the cops come out. There's a guy on his knees grabbing a chair and crying. He's not really crying. He's just holding onto the chair and going, "Oh, woo!" And they go, "Well, what happened, man?" He accidentally set his friend's entire house on fire while the guy was trying to vacuum out his friend's van. And the friend's van was sitting in a carport attached to the house, and the guy was using some solvent in trying to clean out the guy's van. And when the cops arrived, the whole house is going up like something out of Gone with the Wind, man. It looked like freaking Atlanta. It's just... It's every window flames licking out of it. Yeah, every window. And you can occasionally hear solvent, chemical solvents, cleaners from inside the guy's service porch going off. You just hear, and the guy, you know what this cat was doing exactly? He was smoking a cigarette. It looked like a scene from Pirates of the Caribbean. He was smoking a cigarette. Yeah, just those flames leaping up, you know. He was smoking a cigarette, cleaning out his friend's van using ether and gasoline, and smoking a Pall Mall straight. And the guy is kneeling on the ground crying. Yeah, he was a graduate from Harvard, and he just, class of 85, and he went straight from that MBA at Harvard to lighting up a Pall Mall and cleaning his friend's van out with ether and gasoline in an enclosed carport. And this guy, when the cops finally got there, dude's on his knees just crying, and I mean in a serious state of like borderline psychosis, because he's just, you know, he wasn't crying. He was too much of a redneck to cry. He was too much of a, he had that hang up, you know, he wasn't going to cry, so he could only, because you know, some guys don't want to cry, they think it's pussy, right? So what do? Well, they kneel on the ground and go, I don't know what, it's like... Some kind of a red hot suppository is causing this. They twitch and moan, yeah. They just twitch and just... And the dude's house is going up like, I'm telling you, like right out of the Malibu fire. Because this guy is puffing on a weed, cleaning out his friend's van with spot remover. Oh, man. God, you might as well pull into a gas station, and while the guy is doing that refueling thing, you know, the big cylindrical covers that they remove and the guy's like repiping, you might as well walk by one of those and just flick a cigarette into it. How much of the street, I mean, how many square blocks? You know, that's the only thing you're going to be thinking about. Anyway, this guy's house is, my neighbor's doing okay. I mean, this is the crap that I worry about. I'm sorry. I just bought a new house. I'm afraid every day it's going to burn to the ground. I don't know what the hell. I'm in a fire area, man. I'm in a high hazard fire area. I can't even get insurance. I got to insure through the state of California. And those guys take 18,000 years to get you insured because they want to find out how old you are, how big you are. Are you wiping with TP? Are you using the newspaper still? Are indoor or outdoor toilet? How far do you have to walk to get to the toilet, you know, across the street or one on your front lawn? All of this stuff, just so I can get insured so my home doesn't burn to the freaking ground. And because I'm out in the, why? I'm a genius. I bought a house in the middle of a canyon where the Malibu fires happened about, when was it, 94? 93? 6.5 years ago, Malibu almost burned to the ground, and I bought a house in the middle of that. So I can get right out there and live the good life on my big $48,000 a year and have my house burned to the ground someday and say that, well, at least it burned in Malibu. And I was running out of there with my ass in flames along with Kurt Russell and whoever the hell was running down the street with me. Stand up on the roof and try to hose off my roof. Just there's Cher over there. She's hosing off her roof and whoever else, man. Everybody's standing up there looking stupid. Well, the whole thing is up in flames. I don't know. But anyway. I like where I live until it burns, and then it won't be too cool. But at $48,000 a year, I can take my pick. Live wherever the hell I want to live. I can live in any trailer I want to live in. I don't recommend, showbiz thing is not, it's tough, okay? But look at the rewards at the very end of that. A double wide, $48,000 a year, and you're wiping with real toilet paper. God, yes, yes. Long time coming, baby. Long time coming. 48 G's a year. You start wiping with the real stuff, then you talk to me. Till then, it's Phil Hendry Show.